Welcome to the Dad's Night podcast, where ridiculous becomes reality. We're your dad hosts. I'm Chris Parrish.
And I'm Tommy Reed.
This week, we're joined by South Bay dad and super lawyer Bobby Simon, founder of the Simon Law Firm, the Justice Team, and Justice HQ. We'll talk about growing up in Pittsburgh, starting his own firm, fighting for justice, and raising three girls, including a two-year-old. So God bless your wife.
Thanks, man.
For letting you be here.
Fuck. 2 weeks, bro. I got a two-year and a two-week-old that I know of.
We'll drink to that. Tommy and I will also talk about what we're excited about with the end of summer. I am very excited. This podcast is brought to you by the Believe Network.
Doesn't get old, Chris. That music
Someone told me that you got a Spotify mix and it's just that song 64 straight times.
I actually had Brian Cook ask me how you got that license to that.
So we should say
he thought it was by Kool and the Gang.
Really?
Yeah. He's like,
I mean, it could be. The guy won't get back to me.
Because he's too cool.
Yeah, he's too cool. I'm going to start emailing the gang.
Good thing
instead.
We got a lawyer here.
Yeah, good thing. How you doing, Tommy, today?
I'm doing great. I'm very excited. Summer's wrapping up, Chris.
Oh, I love it.
You know, I mean, here we go. We have fantasy footballs in
starts
the air.
Up.
College football starts this weekend. Very excited about
that. Week 0 this weekend. That's right.
And NFL starting very soon.
Yeah.
A lot of crazy stuff going on. Mm-hmm. Tom Brady coming back. Mm-hmm. No one knows if he's going to be the same team. You know, he lost his offensive line. Russell Wilson in Denver.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Devontae Adams in Las Vegas.
Yeah. Kenny Pickett in Pittsburgh. Hey,
let me tell you.
Again.
The yep. same people in Dallas that got 15 penalties in the playoffs last year, they're back.
They are back. Yeah. And you still got Jerry World. So
good. Did you see their valuation came in? Dallas Cowboys. Did you see that?
Just came in second.
No, they were first.
Yeah. The Patriots jumped over, it was the Giants. Now they're $6.4 billion is the Patriots. Mm. $8 billion, right? $8 billion, almost $9 billion for the Cowboys.
I love that.
You think they would afford a disciplined team with that amount of money?
Jesus. Well, at least the 80-year-old owner doesn't have any urgency. It's good times.
Is he 80? I thought he was like 100. He looks like Dr. Evil.
Yeah.
I think his facelifts are about 80.
Yeah, I mean, really. But very excited. So, Chris, what's going on with AYSO Youth Soccer?
So, I mean, do we want to just get into the three dubs right now?
Let's get into the three dubs. All right, here we go, guys. Three W's. Where are you going? What you doing? What you excited about? Brought to you by Postal.io. Hey, dads, what's the easiest way to delight your customers and prospects? Sending one-of-a-kind corporate gifts with Postal offline marketing software. Postal helps companies to create meaningful connections at scale while tracking it all in your CRM. Learn more and get a free trial at postal.io/dads. All right, Chris, talk about your draft here. What happened here?
Yeah, you know, it's a sports season, so obviously there's the lower level sports like the NFL and college, but here in Manhattan Beach, South Bay, we're excited about. We got soccer. You got BCS coming up, so
yep.
I'm coaching my daughter's team, 12U. She's 11. Coaching with friend of the pod, Jack Shea, and then I'm also coaching the boys' team, which is a bunch of 7-year-olds. And luck of the draw for me, I had both drafts last week at the same time, 7 o'clock Zooms. So Jack came and sat right here. We did it in pod headquarters, and I had to do draft two teams at the same time, and I'm not sure how it's going to be because it was really confusing, and there's a lot of people arguing. And,
a lot of arguing.
You know, one thing that jumped out at me is I think a lot of the dads in 8U forgot these are 7-year-old kids. So it was pretty competitive, a lot of back and forth. You're stealing kids, you're stacking this and that, and I'm like, if you can get even 4 kids to listen at the same time, you're going to win the championship. It doesn't matter how good they actually
are. Yeah, just tell me you get some Roblox.
Did you get the kids that can shave points? You got to teach them that early.
I did, yeah. Okay. Most of my kids can take a dive, which is good.
Yep.
You give them the signal, they go down, the other team's about to score, you start crying. So we got that. But we got two teams, we'll start next week. Pretty excited. Big shout out to Ben Davidson, the commish of 12U. Takes a lot of crap from people, and then Jackie Eanes, commissioner of 8U Boys. I'm excited.
Well, that's awesome. I'm excited about BCS, and we actually have Bobby Simon, whose company actually sponsors the BCS Flag Football League. So thank you, Bob, for sponsoring the best youth program in all of Southern California.
Man, anytime, any case, any courtroom.
That's it. You know, Ray Jackson speaks so highly of you and asked me today, ironically, that said, like, hey, you got to get Bobby Simon on the pod. I said, you got to be kidding me.
I'm way ahead of you.
He's coming in today.
Yeah.
He's a great guy. He talked about you helping him get to a lot of new families that didn't know about him, how he became mayor of Hermosa Beach. So great job. I think he's running again. So make sure everyone who's listening in Hermosa, vote for Ray Jackson. Just a great stand-up dude, friend of the pod, and great coach, great, great board member on the BCS, and speaks very highly of you, Bobby.
He's a liar.
He should be a lawyer.
And a Gators fan, apparently.
He is a Gators fan. But that we won't hold against.
No.
He's SEC. But yeah, I'm really excited because we have one more combine left this Saturday, and then we have our draft next Thursday, which, again, if you could stream it, it'd be a gold mine because of all the shenanigans you just talked about, Chris, how there's already stacking up and this and that. They're telling players not to even come, you know, go to the combine, which, how are you going to get parity? You mean, like, this is not fun.
When
how
old are
like,
the kids you're talking?
They're turning 10.
Oh, Lord.
So it's have like, we, come on.
Have man. We had a single Manhattan Beach-raised pro football player? Or pro soccer player.
Yeah, Josh Rosen.
Oh, you know, his dad is actually a defense expert, defense orthopedic surgeon.
I did not know that.
Oh, man, I've deposed him across him several times.
Huh. All right, Josh Rosen.
Josh Rosen's dad, Charles Rosen. Yep.
Cleveland Brown.
No. Is that where he is now?
Yeah, hopefully he's still, because they were doing
cuts
today.
He is, number 19 on the Browns. I saw him in camp.
He played the
other day. Absolutely right. Well, good luck, Josh. Hope you make the team.
UCLA.
Yep. So that's basically going into fall season. But what I'm really excited about is football. Football's back.
Mm-hmm.
I think my Buckeyes are going to go all the way.
Mm-hmm.
I did a couple of futures on the Buckeyes going to not only win the Big Ten, win it all, but then I did the one with Alabama, Georgia, and Ohio State versus the rest of the crowd.
That's a first good
the
bet.
Feel.
That's a good bet.
Yep.
Actually.
So I actually took those three to win it all. It was -350. That's how confident they are that one of those three teams are going to win it.
Yeah.
So,
well,
just saying.
Goodish luck to you.
Thank you. Appreciate.
Hopefully,
that.
Ohio State can get in with one loss.
Yeah. Well, I'm taking Grayson to Ohio State Notre Dame. So very excited about that.
Oh man, that's awesome.
Right? That's the third, right? September 3rd.
That is. Yeah. And we are the premier night game. It's at the Shoe in Columbus.
Oh, cool.
And. Friend of the pod, Justin Fry, working on tickets for me here, so I'm hoping that I can get also down to the field. Say hi to him with my son for his 10th birthday. That'd be something that he'll never forget. My dad played football for Notre Dame. I was rejected, but both my Thomas Lawrence Reed, senior and junior, both went to Notre Dame. I got rejected, went to Ohio State. Rest is history. So I want to crush him.
I'm having a conflicting college season because I've got a good friend now who's on my most hated team. He coaches them, and obviously I want him to do well. Just for once, I'll only have to do for one season because he'll obviously move on to head coach somewhere next year.
He probably will.
And then also, Tommy, I got to think that maybe not for you outside of this game, the majority of, for the first time ever maybe, Notre Dame's going to have a lot of people rooting for him because Brian Kelly's such a dipshit. Don't you think?
Yeah, but, I mean, they have a Buckeye coach who is an alumni for Buckeyes and talked smack on the Buckeyes. That didn't settle too well.
Well, not to you. That's what I'm saying, outside this game.
Outside this game, but I don't care. I think that Freeman's going to go down. We're going to cover 14.5. So for all those gamblers out there, Parlay Parish and Tommy the Tease are coming live.
Wait till we get our picks in. Yeah, yeah.
We're going to put a couple of preseason picks in here. I'm going a two-team parlay this weekend. I'm taking money line on Nebraska beating Northwestern in Ireland at the Aer Lingus Bowl.
That's crazy.
And I'm taking Illinois at home against Wyoming. Two-team parlay money line. Take those two guys.
You know what? The parlay is like the sucker bet, man. You have two things that have to happen for that to be true.
To win.
Nah, man. Always, if you're going to take it, take an over-under on the same game if you're going to bet it. That way that you can control it. If they have a good defense, take them in the under.
Or don't bet parlay. Like me.
Yeah.
See, Bobby actually wins money betting. So like, that's why. We got to get it. We got to get Bobby in here.
Betting Bobby.
Betting Bobby here. Parlay Parish and Tommy the Teaser. Well, I'm excited about that. But most excited about our amazing guest, Bobby Simon. Thank you so much for coming in here. I want to open up this beer because I took it out the fridge and put it in the freezer for a second. Bobby, this is flown in from Portland, Maine. This
Love
is
Hatties.
The famous Hattie.
Yep.
And I'm sure that Randy Wilson, who's one of your best friends, one of our best friends, and huge friend of the pod. And
South Bay briskets all the way, bro.
I mean, the meat master. We have this beer, and I wanted you to taste it because this is what I consider to be the premier IPA coming in from Portland, Maine. This is better than Russian Rivers Pliny the Elder. So what do you think, buddy?
Dude, this is fantastic.
Is this your first time having this?
I've never had this before. I've had Pliny the Elder. I've had the Younger. I've had all
the Younger.
Oh, yeah.
Mark Murrell, friend of the pod,
who
owns Get Maine Lobster, sent us these, and he knew you were going to be on the pod, so he wanted you to have an incredible beer. So now we have some beers going. Bobby, talk to me how you got into law. I mean, it's like you have a great story and like how you actually wanted to get into the law. Something happened. Yeah. Talk about that.
Nah, man, like I always wanted to be a trial lawyer. When I was a 12-year-old, my uncle, actually my great uncle, but he's my dad's same age, big Irish Catholic family. You know how it is, yep. One of 12 where they fall. He was hit by a drunk driver and lost the use of his legs, paralyzed. They tried to blame him. He was a press man. So like Pittsburgh press, where he grew up. So they were literally people freaking pressing to make newspapers. So laborers, right?
Right.
So, you know, he's the breadwinner. You know, his wife is a teacher. They got to, you got to eat, you got to earn, right? So it's not like a white collar job, but I seen his family go through everything, you know, my cousins, and seeing a lawyer fight for them, they settled in the middle of the trial with enough to like take care of the family, have a quality of life, enough to afford like a big ranch home, you know, wheelchair accessible, gave my, you know, my cousins were able to put money in trusts. And my one cousin actually ended up playing football at Villanova, even though he was a better basketball player, but they got, you know, by his sister went to American University, went to George Washington, D.C., so we got to hang out a lot. But, you know, without that happening, their lawyer being a place would never happen. So it's always what I wanted to do. Went to D.C. for undergrad and started working at a law firm. It was a shitty-ass insurance defense law firm, and I realized I never want to bill a quarter hour of my fucking life. So everything I do is on a contingency fee where I got a win to eat, right?
Yeah.
Which you kill. So I came out here to California. It's always where I wanted to be and wanted to practice. So I came out here for law school and opened up my own firm after 3 years. But I've been working like full-time since I was in high school doing shit, just like you guys probably were the same growing up. So, yeah, man, I started my own firm after 3 years, got my twin brother to join, and then my little brother, then my dad, then my mom, then my dad's new wife, and my dad's wife's daughter, and then one of my cousins, and both of my sisters.
Wow. Talk about keeping it in the family.
I love that. Awesome. Yeah, yeah. What was it like? I can tell you what it was for me. I think my first time to LA was 1998. I went to Michigan, obviously. Uh-huh. And then I had a buddy who was going to Pepperdine Law School.
That's where I went, bro. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm getting at. Is my cousin was in town from England. He's like, oh, come visit me up on campus. Oh, and when you grow up out east, any of those schools, and they're beautiful, right? I'll give it to you. Like the horseshoe. I went to a game of the horseshoe, watched Tom Brady throw for 350. It's a gorgeous stadium.
All Big Ten are beautiful.
All Big Ten. But maybe Minnesota. Anyway. How do you get anything done at Pepperdine?
Yeah, I mean, that's fucking ridiculous.
I'll tell you. So, first time I ever went on an airplane was looking for law schools and came out to LA.
Okay.
And I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
This is where I'm going to go ahead and go. Why not, right? Live in Malibu is crazy. So, how do you get things in Malibu? If you ever live there, for listeners that don't live there, there's nothing to fucking do in Malibu, nothing, man. Nothing. There's like Malibu Inn, there's Joffrey's for dinner, and then there's like
Nobu.
Moon Shadows, which you have to whisper when you say it.
I love Moon Shadows.
It's nice, but you have to whisper Moon Shadows.
Did there used to be Dukes?
Dukes is still there, yeah. But, I mean, these are all, it's like...
I saw Tommy Lee there once.
Isn't there some kind of Greek restaurant at Tony Taverna's?
Tony's where they do the dancing on the tables and shit. Yeah, dude, it's but there's not much. No. But it was the first time in my life, that when you go to law school, the first year at most law schools, they make you sign an agreement where you cannot work. You have to do law full time.
Okay.
You have to take out loans, investments on yourself. But it was the first time in my life I was not working like more than one or two jobs and going to school or playing sports. It was so easy for me. It was like, oh, I had like extra time to realize I could read these things and get it done and then go work out and go to the beach. It was fucking like a cakewalk.
So how important is it to know a personal injury lawyer in today's?
Well, you hope to never need one, but when you do, you got to find the best. I mean, this is in our industry, all the lawyers you see on the billboards.
Right.
Those lawyers are nothing more than just advertisers.
Like Sweet James?
Sweet James. I know Sweet James. He's living in Puerto Rico.
Is his real name James?
James.
Is he
James
sweet?
Bergener. James actually grew up a devout Mormon.
Oh, wow.
Then came to California, opened up his practice, and you could read the things that happened after his divorce and stuff, and now he's living in Puerto Rico evading taxes. He's actually a good dude. I used to do a lot of cases. So all those lawyers would give lawyers like me, very good trial lawyers, their cases. We would agree to split the fee. So that's how it works. We do like, all right, I'll split the fee 50-50. Client just gets a team of lawyers, doesn't cost them anything extra. So most of all these advertisers, I work with them.
Okay. Right?
They just get these cases, they hand them off if they can't settle them, they're too big.
My mom died 3 years ago of ovarian cancer. Mm-hmm. And then my dad saw an ad, and he's in North Carolina right now, for the talcum powder case.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so my dad called me, like, because my mom used talcum powder for 60 years. And obviously Johnson & Johnson's trying to hide the money right now, but... my dad was like, should we call these people? And then I asked my buddy, Ryan Saba, and he's like, no, they're just aggregating. Yep. I actually know the guy who's the lead counsel on this thing. So they're luckily, I'm very blessed that I know people like that.
Yeah, because you cut out the middleman or woman to do it and got right to the trial lawyer that's handling it. Ryan's a great dude, great lawyer.
Ryan Sabo?
Yeah.
He's a handsome gentleman, too.
Wow, tall and handsome.
He makes the best biscuits I've ever had in my life.
Shut up.
Oh, no doubt about it. Yeah. Wow.
See, man, you learn a kind of new shit.
Cool. Yeah. I mean, well, not only that, but, like, you guys just know everything. And you guys know, like, for example, you were talking about, like, you know, Chris has one of those rad electric bikes.
Yeah. And this is a big deal, Tommy. I'm glad you brought this up.
And, you know, a big concern as a parent is that you obviously want your kid to have that independence of going places, but you don't want them going too fast. And these kids are just racing down, going like over 40 miles an hour down hills. Some of them don't even have the helmets on.
Ripping through stop signs.
With kids on the back of their bikes. And it's just like really freaking scary. Mm-hmm. And so I see this and I'm like, I don't want to get an electric bike for my kid, but yet I know how valuable it is as a parent to not always, you know, schlep your kid all over everything, you know, all over everywhere. What's going on with the whole e-bike?
Well, the e-bike, I mean, any like...
I met you and Randy Wilson his basement. The pods, yeah. Basement.
Drinking whiskey.
Yeah. By the way, that was great because my brother was in town and my brother, he's not as extroverted as, say, myself. And then we went to Randy's basement and Randy didn't even ask. He's like, here you go. Here's your bourbon. It was the start of a great afternoon.
Absolutely. It always is at Randy's basement.
Anyway, so you and I were talking. We had just met and we were talking Rad Runners because I've got one and I love it. And you were part of this lawsuit that was happening with a kid who went to our school who there was an accident up at Sepulveda Marine. And you basically, the next day I called this place VeloFix and had him come to the house and set up my bike the way it's supposed to be set up by a professional. And knock on wood, now I feel pretty confident on it. But you're right. These things get shipped. And I'm not trying to call out Rad Runner or anything, but like a lot of these companies, you get this bike shipped to you. And you think, but like the torque needed on these bolts, and like we're all hills going downhill. Mm-hmm. And like I've already been through a pair of brakes, which is fine. I drive it like a grandma. But these kids, there's just no repercussions because nothing bad's ever happened. And they're blowing through stop signs. They're going 100 miles an hour down the road. And these things can give, right?
Yeah. I mean, and that's the danger in any type of these things is it takes a while for the market to set the danger and see if it's safe or not, right? Because you put something out there, and it takes a while. Who becomes the guinea pigs?
Yeah.
Fucking people, man, or kids. Yeah. And you see that happens with some of the auto manufacturers and things. I mean, they just had a $16 billion verdict against Ford yesterday in Georgia.
On what now?
On Georgia. It was a rollover crash. It was a car.
Okay.
But, there's all these things that happen. But, the only real way for people to know and be held accountable, in my opinion, is 12 strangers, jurors, that make the decision and see the evidence. Because when you go through all these other things, you go through, like, auto manufacturers, they have their own group. By the way, the auto manufacturers have their own group to say what's safe or not.
Right.
People don't realize that. It's not like the government checking them.
What was the big case, crazy. I think, in the 70s with Ford, where they basically just did the math and said, okay, it'll cost us this much if we recall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We can pay the lawsuits out. I have a case against Suzuki, and Mr. Suzuki himself signed a document.
Bob Suzuki?
Bob, yeah. His name was Bob, obviously. Bob. Robert. Bob. He signed a document that says, we can't let the Americans find out. Because you saw what happened to Toyota when they had this recalled, we will get hit for billions of dollars. They knowingly had a defective brake pad in their steering column or in their motorcycle. On their motorcycle.
Was this the motorcycle? Okay.
Yeah, and like they knew their spongy brakes, they knew about it, and they tried to it's all in their documents. We got them all, and we'd won the first trial, and they had appeal. We got to retry it again. It's just crazy, but yeah, these motherfuckers were coming over here like. Covert ninja style, going to dealerships and like testing the brakes to see how many of these were defective and not telling us, not saying shit to Americans. They just kept putting it out there. And they were like, one of the things, we did the math and we'd rather pay the lawsuits out than have to fucking recall it. Crazy.
Wow.
But it shit happens all the time. And the only way you could do it is if you like, you dig and dig and dig. And the only way I think if you get a lawyer worth their salt is if they have they're on contingency, man. If they have a same alignment of interest of you, they got to. They only get paid if you win. You got to fucking believe we're doing everything we can.
Yeah.
Do you do work outside of California? You register in other states so we can get, like, say we have friends of the pod listening in Nevada or what other states are you licensed in?
So I'm licensed in Texas. We have offices in Texas and Austin, Houston. And then we're about to open in Arizona.
Okay.
I have lawyers licensed everywhere. I've been pro-hawked. I've tried cases in Iowa last year during COVID. I was trying a case in the fucking cornfield. It was awesome. We were doing jury selection in a auditorium.
Nice.
Yeah, high school auditorium. But then they settled, rightfully so, for a lot of money. But, you know, it was fun.
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. I mean, you just crush. And I'm so proud of the way that, you know, and I know you're very instrumental, and you have a great saying, and I'll let you say it, but you like to include your friends into the fun, and that fun is usually wealth and money-making and greater opportunities. Talk about that.
Yeah, dude. I mean, like probably both of you guys, I didn't come up with much money. My dad was a truck driver, you know, one of five kids.
Yeah.
And, like, my goal in life is just to have financial freedom,
right,
stress-free with your family, but for everybody to have that. Imagine a world where all your friends and your family have that same thing, where it's like, hey, it's 2:30. You guys want to go fuck around in the street with the kids and have a few beers? Yeah, down, done, right? That's the dream. So my goal in life is to make everybody financially independent. I mean, there's so many different vehicles which you can earn through. And
right,
like what you guys do in the podcast, you hook all your friends up, make sure everybody's like well connected. And it's the same thing. It's that attitude you have to have. Because selfish motherfuckers, they're just going to crash and burn.
And be alone.
Be alone.
And fucking, that sucks, dude. Because there's a great saying, you can't do epic shit with basic people.
Oh, I like that.
You know?
I love that. I've never heard that before.
And you have to. And if your epic people are your best friends, then fucking include them, man. That's why it's fun to go deep sea fishing, to go to all these things.
And what's the point? You know, I just came from the club, actually. I just played pickle poorly. But I'm sort of on a temporary, and ends tomorrow, retirement. And then I've got some projects that I'm working on, that I work on full time. But in the meantime, I'm just going and hanging out. It's like during the day, kids aren't in school, all that stuff. And it's like, man, this would rule.
Yeah, of course.
If this were life.
Right.
Not there yet, but to really just have the freedom and have other people have the freedom to just spend time when everything's not just like, you know, bonkers all the time. It's like Sarah was saying, you know, last week about
McLaughlin.
No.
Sorry. That was just Sarah that came to mind.
For once in my life, I'm not going to quote Sarah McLaughlin on the podcast, but
our
friend Dr. Sarah Kersey, just about, you know, taking that time and just, you know, being in the moment, and that sets the tone for everything else. And obviously money makes that easier. Being a good person obviously makes that even easier. But I've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed just having the time with the kids where it's not like super hectic.
Yeah,
you know, that sort
of
thing.
But like even when, like every time I see you, Bobby, and we're always at Randy's house, we go down to the basement. He opens up Pappy. He opens up the Midsummer's Night Dream and all the best bourbons. And he sits there, and he's like, "That, you know, this bottle is $15,000 or whatever it is." And he doesn't care because he's with us,
and he's having the experience,
you know. And that is the coolest thing, because like you can have a great bottle. Which, by the way,
I never understood that, where people just had fucking good whiskey or anything or wine. I'm not a wine drinker, but like, why wouldn't you open it? You bought it,
right?
Like,
what is the point? It could turn into vinegar by tomorrow. You don't know. So to your point, but you came in here bringing gifts, and look, we love when our guests bring in gifts. Bobby, tell us what you brought us here. You brought us some special, did you buy your own barrels at these bourbon distilleries?
Yeah, so we source our own barrels. And the first one was this Jack Single Barrel, which I'm giving Tommy, and he's got our Justice Team logo on it. Second one we did, last year I do an event for lawyers called Lotta Gras, which is like a big entertainment thing where we give education on spine and chronic pain, because again, it's my wheelhouse. I like spine injuries. That's a lot of what I do because my uncle, it's kind of my niche. And we have high like entertainment for these lawyers. So last year it was Nelly and Flo Rida. It was fucking awesome. This year
did you say Flo Rida?
Flo Rida.
Jeez. Flo Rida. There's no R there. I'm just saying.
Also,
no, there's no.
In Tommy Land, it's called Florida.
The original Florida man. But this year we had Snoop Dogg and Rev Run.
Whoa.
So it was a big deal. But we didn't really. And then we did one that here. This is the Whistle Pig. It's probably about a 12 or 13-year-old barrel, but we tasted. Randy was there. Me and my dad, Randy, a few others. We had a guy come up with Whistle Pig with a bunch of different barrels. We tasted it, and then we private labeled it. And then
So how does that go? You buy, and how many bottles do you get out of a cask?
Depends on the Angel Share. So the older it is, the less bottles you get, because the more evaporates over time. So like this Jack One Single Barrel probably bottled about 220. The Sonoma one that you have here from Lotta Gras, probably about 240, but that Whistle Pig probably about 180 because it's aged 12 to 14 years. Yeah, so it's a little.
I got the cheap bottle.
Yeah, you got the cheap bottle. Reverse math, bro.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Michigan, come on. I mean, that is fantastic. So, do you do Ohio law? Because Dr. Steve Papandreas, my best friend, very successful chiropractor. Pappy.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you do Ohio cases, you guys got to work together. I'll connect you guys tomorrow. So, Bobby, you also have, I mean, not only are you an amazing, you know, lawyer, but you do such fun stuff. You have, like, your own podcast. Talk about your two podcasts that you have. Oh, you know, Bourbon Approved is one of my favorites, but talk about that and what you do.
So, again, doing shit you think is fun. To me, if you do, if you put yourself in things that you love to do, you will always succeed. Always. You'll find ways for it to be lucrative or do what you want. So, again, love whiskey. So I started a show called Bourbon Approved. Fucking greatest thing. I trademarked that shit, by the way.
Oh, of course.
Bet your ass.
Fuck, I just wrote it down.
Now you want to get sued?
Yeah,
you're
getting sued now by Bobby.
But it was just like, you know, I'm just going to interview my friends just like this is over whiskey, continue to just get drunker and drunker and keep asking the hard questions and laugh. And it's hilarious. I did a conference last year called Bourbon Approved on the road. We actually went to Louisville, Kentucky. 200 lawyers went there, and we just did education on the trails. They got their like continuing.
My buddy
education.
Brian is a lawyer in Louisville, Kentucky, who loves bourbon.
Well, I hope he fucking comes next year.
There you go.
Yeah, I'll get him the invite.
Well, maybe he's cool enough to go.
He's pretty cool.
Okay. I'll take your word for it, bro.
He's got a Pearl Jam tattoo.
That's pretty cool.
Which I say is pretty cool.
Objection.
All right. Sustained.
Can I sue Tommy?
Yes, you can sue him. That's severe emotional distress, bro. I can see the fear in his eyes.
I can't
eyes.
Recover right now. I need compensation.
Resilient compliance. Yesterday, what was that? What did we do yesterday? What was it with Sarah?
I'm going to look it up.
Hold on.
Resilient compliance?
Restraint collapse?
Restraint collapse. That's when the kid just melts down. As soon as they get
did you say
school.
Brazilian compliance?
I have no idea. I'm trying to...
Is that like a blowout, but with something else, the Brazilian blowout?
I don't know, man. It's when the kid just breaks down from obeying orders all day, and they come home, and they're testy.
The gist of it is they've been on for like 7 hours, and then they come home, you got to give them some time.
Exactly. We all deal with that. It's the same thing. You go, your work would bust your ass all day. You come home, don't fucking talk to me right now. Same thing.
Decompress.
Parents, you got to be patient. A1. Fucking lesson. Just be patient, be cool, be chill.
It's not easy being an Irish Catholic and being patient.
No,
though,
but sometimes I will lose my shit. And of course. I will scream.
Sometimes.
Of course.
I've seen you guys.
Yeah.
No, okay. So Bourbon Approved. So you
do
now...
that one. That's fun. I get guests on that. We do that. I mean, it's got a good following. I do one called Justice Team Podcast. We were the first ones to do like lawyers doing podcasts, like educational ones. But again, we would drink the whole time, bring in all these guests to talk about all the different stuff. So we've been doing this for years and years. So now I found a lot of people were listening to this in law school, like kids in law school listen to this. Now they're lawyers. So we have a big following of young lawyers. So that's why we started doing music festivals for young lawyers to show them how to make money being a solo practitioner, right? How to get cases, how to market themselves, and how to be educated and how to like make money in trials and things like this. And that's how we do that conference called Law de Gras, which we do North County, San Diego every year. And it's been a huge success. And again, it's all based off of just helping people and helping them want to make money on their own. I'm a big proponent of fuck big law, fuck corporate law, work for yourself, earn for yourself, make your own hours, and empower yourself. That's it.
Boom.
Man.
I mean.
That's good.
If I was a lawyer, I'd want to partner up with you immediately and learn more.
But here's the thing. Like, in our profession, you can split fees ethically. So what's stopping you from just marketing yourself? Like, but you guys ever watch Better Call Saul?
Oh, yeah, I haven't finished it.
Neither am I. I'm on season... We just started season five.
Okay.
I've had
to avoid, like, the internet for, like, the last week because the finale...
Me too.
Series finale was this past week. Yeah.
Exactly, and I don't want to know. But one of the things, like, he gets that big case, Sandpiper, and he partners with his firm. He gets a percentage of the fee. And he's just pounding pavement all day. There's nothing stopping a lawyer from hustling all day to get cases and then to partner with the people that know what they're doing and split the fee. And then you learn doing it. Why the fuck aren't people doing this?
Wow.
Like, I just
incredible.
Don't understand. Like, I teach law schools this that blows these kids' minds that they could do this. Like, guys, you could be a millionaire as a lawyer first year out of law school. And all you got to do is like market yourself. And they're like, wait, what? I don't have to sit and do discovery.
It's kind of like what Kardashian did and Robert Shapiro did for the Save OJ. So, they had multiple.
So he brought a team of lawyers together. Right. So he was just a guy that knew somebody. So that's who Robert Shapiro was. And he still does because he has LegalZoom, some other companies that he founds because he's well-networked. You find that the specialist, like Johnny Cochran, he was the guy.
Right.
Like, he was the guy in the case. And I have a few friends that, like Carl Douglas was on that team, who I'm good friends with, part of that trial team. You find the people that are the best at what they do and you bring them together. And you should split the fees on those cases. That's what you should do as a lawyer. That way it keeps your overhead down. You could work from your fucking garage, your basement. Don't matter.
Right.
Like, clients don't care. You meet them at coffee shops. Don't matter.
Right.
So if you bring together a team like that and split the fee, that's how you succeed. People think they have to go work in a high rise and do big law shit. It's stupid. It's dumb. If you learn how to market yourself and just be a normal human being, you can make a shit ton of money in this.
So
in
why doesn't this
today.
Why doesn't this principle apply in other
industries?
You know
why? Because they you know how much big law firms pay to have access to lawyers to recruit them to work at their law firms to put the golden handcuffs on them for years and keep dangling the carrot. That's what it is, man. That's why they sponsor all the law school shit, because that's what they want. They got to have these kids that are slaves in the machine.
Like the firm.
Like the firm.
Bobby, what do you like to cook?
Oh, so
I mean, you're always so busy. You're always on the road.
So I'm the best cook at DoorDash.
There it is.
The only thing that I do cook every morning, I make all my kids breakfast. That's thing that awesome. I do. So I get up. They're usually up. Breakfast usually serve around 6:30 because I get them out the door by 8 to get to school. My 5-year-old, 5, a 2, and a 2-week-old. So I'm helping mom as much as I can to try to give her extra rest. So when I get up, probably about 4:35 every day, and I try to turn on the sound machine up in her bedroom and then start watching the kids on all the monitors. And when one gets up, I start taking the first kid.
Do you have
the
a war room?
Kid.
Like you got like,
oh, I mean,
like
that's
all
my
the different
phone.
Monitors my looking phone. At everything. Nice.
Yeah. But my whiskey room is also my war room in my house where I have these monitors. No, that's what it's like. I just like monitoring shit in the morning and see who's making, because I want to let her sleep because we have a newborn in and I let her sleep in. So I go down, make the kids breakfast, put on a TV show. So my youngest daughter wanted to watch the new He-Man. There's a new He-Man, by the way. It's very strange.
I heard that, yeah.
It's like cosmic.
Yeah.
But yeah, where she's watching He-Man, I'll teach her about Skeletor over breakfast. It's hilarious.
Come on, we all grew up doing
She's 5 years old?
5.
Yeah. Can I ask you, we talked a little bit about this in pre-production, but you've got a video on your website. If people want to watch it, it's very touching. And the conclusion of it post-video is fantastic. But, you know, you and your wife went through some trouble having your first child. And, you know, my daughter, Lainey's 11. That was like 2 shots and we got it. Mm. And then we got married and then we tried having the boy. And it was just taking a while, and that can take a toll on people. And it's almost like you go through this period in your life where you're just like, please don't get pregnant. And then all of a sudden, that's the only thing that matters. And it's like stress on your body, and it's mental, and it's hormones, and it's terrible. And
we went through years of like not being able to get pregnant. Tried everything, hormones, IVF, all this shit. And it's a grind, mostly on... You know, on women, because they pump them full of hormones. And my wife will even tell me, she's like, I can't even explain how I'm feeling right now. Like, it is just, it's ups and downs. It's crazy the shit that they make them go through to go on this stuff. And my wife's a very successful entrepreneur. She owns her own company, and she's hustling all the time, and she's, you know, desperately want to have a baby. So all that stuff failed. All this shit failed. I remember, like, waiting for I had a huge, one of the biggest verdicts I ever had, and I was home, because it's called jury sitting. I do not wait for the jury to come to a decision. I get the fuck out of there.
Right.
It's super stressful. It's like the worst thing ever. You're in control this whole time, and you give it to a bunch of strangers, and then you got to sit there and pace and wait. No thanks. So I remember getting that one time when we had a failed IVF, and she's like, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm like, yeah, let's not. Just leave it up to God. Let's just let it happen. So we always wanted to adopt, and I said, we always thought we were going to adopt our last child, right? We're like, fuck it. Why wait? We want to do this. Do it now. So we end up getting the adoption process, and it was awesome. Within 2 months, we have to do all this compliance stuff. And I wish every parent had to do this compliance thing. So they teach you like diversity training, all these things, like alcohol and drug awareness, because you never knew what the birth parents are going to be like. Do this for like 2 or 3 months. And like, I'm a lawyer, I'm fucking meticulous. I get all my paperwork done and all the compliance stuff. We're getting offers for children like this. People say it takes forever. Dude, within 2 or 3 months, it was like my adoption lawyer calls. He's like, this baby was just born in Las Vegas. What do you think? I'm like, dude, I'm like in the courtroom right now. You think I could just go pick up a child? But it was like that. That's how crazy it was.
Wow.
We were getting matched with like parents, and like we would do a little, you have to make a book about yourself, and you see their book, and then you try to match and stuff like this. But we went through a few of these and it wasn't right. This one was like, this is our daughter. This is going to happen. Now you guys are going to make me cry. Don't make somebody fucking cry
on
the dad's
podcast.
No,
dude. Night.
We're like Roy Firestone right now.
This is great. We
You still have contact with the parents? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we still have contact. My daughter was born outside of Seattle. So my daughter, birth mom, had 5 other kids, 4 that were adopted out.
Okay.
Crazy. I mean, and these, like, we would see the medical record. She was on birth control and stuff and just kept getting pregnant. And these, I mean, they didn't have enough money. They couldn't, they could not do this. And the dad, it was his first with her. He had another one from his first marriage, but he's a tattoo artist up in Bremerton, Washington. And, we connected, we went up there to visit them while she was pregnant, you know, nice folks. And then, when she was born, we spent some time with them, with the baby, you know. Our daughter's name is Remington. We named her that. Her name is Remy, but it's very like Pacific Northwest, like mm-hmm. Remington. It's very strong, and they love the name. But he's a tattoo artist, so he actually did my daughter's tattoo. It says Remington on my arm with her footprint. Nice. He did this whole piece right here two days after she was born. We were waiting to get cleared to go back on the plane, all that stuff. So, yeah, and then we had two children after that now, and just like both oopsie babies.
I love
like,
that, though.
Fuck, yeah. It was just like my I thought my wife was fucking with me. She's both of them on video. For telling me she was pregnant. You. Yeah. And I was just like,
see, that is just God being so kind to like good people. Yeah. I feel like that's like,
and also when the time is right, because there were things that we were going through like professionally and things that this,
yeah,
we might not have been there in the perfect place. And if we had gotten pregnant earlier, we would not have adopted Remy. Would have never happened. I'm a big, like, I always, like, when you watch Back to the Future and shit, I don't fuck with time. So people say if you had to go back in time and you do X, Y, Z, I was like, I would do everything exactly the same.
Sure.
Yeah, you don't want to fuck with that. Yeah.
I would too. Because everything led me up to where I am.
Exactly.
And, you know, you watch the movies, there's one little turn, and all of a sudden I'm not in a garage with Tommy and you.
Correct.
With my beautiful family over there.
Yep.
And everything works out. You just got to work through it.
Yeah.
And I think about my son, who's 7, and he's just the greatest thing ever. And just all of the pain that we went through to have him is worth it, because there he is. And he woke up this morning, and he was like, Dad, can we get bagels?
And
he's
so
excited
grateful,
for his
man.
Soccer team. He's getting a haircut an hour. I'm not happy about it.
Why?
He's got dope hair, but it's got to be a little bit shorter for school.
Why?
I don't know. I feel like I volunteer enough at school.
Oh, Mark.
Like, Jesus had long hair, number
Fuck
one.
Yeah.
So what are we teaching the kids? But I feel like I volunteer enough to where I'm going to start pulling a power.
He wasn't even washing, dude. He was just hanging out.
No, he was hanging out.
You got to abide by the rules, man. That's why you go there.
I'm a loose cannon, dude.
My dad always said, if you give good, you get good back.
I like. See, he's fucking crushing these phrases.
So, I mean,
Tommy's in the zone today.
That's just like, that's the Irish Catholic that's coming out. And I feel like that's what you exude, Bobby, is that you give out this, you know, like one of the greatest moments is like, you know, as a friend, when you saw Randy, how happy he was making the pivot from hardworking dude to incredible, successful at what he does now to like being you bringing him and giving him the opportunity to be even more successful at what he's doing. Yeah. That's a great friend right there. He's happier. His world's better. And that's just what a great person does, is that you give good.
Well, but it goes back to, like, Randy's one of my best friends. Why can't he be in a place where he doesn't have to wake up at 3 a.m. to go run to this job site and kill himself?
Right.
I just want to hang out with Randy, man.
Of course you do. Of course you do.
You know?
Who doesn't?
You know, so it's like, let's put ourselves in a position to be able to do that.
That's great. And big follower of, and this is your Instagram handle, Planet Fun Bob. Mm-hmm. Love when you just start giving out these, like, your daughter the other day ran over Peppa Pig.
What?
Talk
about this.
Dude, so I do shit that I think is funny, right? I have right now I have a media team, Outlier Creative, that, so the person that founded that company is actually a manager of Q's, fucking going back.
Really?
So Teresa used to manage Q's. I know all that, like, she started doing our marketing and stuff for us for our firm, and we just do young, cool shit. Fuck it. We'll do whatever we want. So she started a company called Outlier Creative. She's a co-founder of Justice HQ, another company that we have. Sometimes I get pulled back, like, don't do that stuff on social media. It's a little too crazy. And
like running over Peppa Pig.
This is great.
Well,
here's the problem.
It was my toddler, but Peppa doesn't know which side of the road to drive on. You know what I'm saying? She's fucking British.
Yeah.
And that's why my daughter admitted fault right away. As a 2-year-old, like, it was me. I was like, why would you say that? Call a lawyer. And I was also watching You Better Call Saul.
Don't also admit fault right away.
Yeah. Well, now you're going to be head-to-head in court with Mrs. Rabbit.
Dude, she's tough.
She is tough.
She's tough.
I think she also wears the ice cream stand down the road.
This is awesome.
Many different hats, right?
This is great. Oh. What do you like to do to chill?
This?
Podcasting?
No, I actually do a lot of podcasts. I have my own idea.
And bourbon. Loves his bourbon.
My favorite thing to do is get kids together at my house, anybody's house. Like, we have friends everywhere. Let them play all day. We just sip on whiskey. Watch sports, parent, hang out with the kids. That's the fucking best time. A
couple of over-unders on Bobby's ticket there.
Yeah, yeah, whatever. We can all walk places here, so we're fine. I actually got one of those powered wagons. It's like the best investment I've ever made in my life, putting those kids and pushing around the beach.
Sandhoppers.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, you should get them as a sponsor, because that shit ain't
local.
Cheap. They're great.
Giuseppe's too cheap.
Yeah, they're big Hawthorne
now. Yeah. Hawthorne. I see you all the time with your kids, and you're very hands-on, and you have such a good time being a dad. How do you handle getting alone time with each of your 5 and 2-year-old now?
You have to, like, make the conscious effort to have, like, daddy-daughter dates, or even if it's 30 minutes or story time. So at bedtimes, like, right now it's like my wife and I will bring all the kids together. She'll tell a couple stories. They'll do a song. She'll take the two-year-old to bed. I'll stay with the five-year-old, tell a couple stories. That's her nice time in the morning after the five-year-old goes to school. It's me and the two-year-old spend 30 minutes, an hour together and do stuff. But you have to be like, you have to make that shit happen. Like, I'm one of five, and I never felt like my parents favored the other kids over the others. Never felt that way. You know, my dad worked his ass off. My mom was home with us all the time. But you have to be like, it's like sibling rivalry does exist, and kids do get jealous, but sure, you have to be on top of it.
Yeah.
Like, if you're giving one kid a gift, unless it's their birthday, all kids get gifts, right?
Right.
Kids got to have the same. Like, when I'm making breakfast, they get exactly the same, or else it's like, why does so-and-so get more, right? You just got to be conscious about that stuff. But, you know, it's like you got to work at it, and I love it. Look, I love being a fucking dad. It's hilarious. You just got to be real patient and just roll with it.
Yeah.
What do you do to support your wife at this time? Like, I mean, like, I know there's so much going on, but like, she just had a baby.
Mm-hmm.
You now have three girls, so you're a girl dad to three. Mm-hmm. How do you support your wife in times like this?
Anything she fucking wants. I think that's it. You have to communicate as to, like, when I have work stuff going on, I give enough lead time to say, hey, I got to go do this to make sure there's coverage. So, like, we're blessing up to have a nanny, but then we also have my parents live close, my dad and his wife, so they'll come over and help. Like, I was here a little earlier for today, so I picked up my daughter from school, and I was going to go to her piano class. She does that once a week. She just started, but we did every week. So my dad came over to sit over the last 15 minutes and take her home. Just have that support system and have communication. But with, like, my wife, like, she's nursing. I can't help with that. Like, our first daughter was adopted, so she couldn't nurse, so we were doing formula. So I would take turns every 4 hours, do the feeds and stuff like that. But right now, let my wife get as much sleep as possible, be as supportive as possible, fill up her water, get her food, anything she ever needs, right? And then give her space with the other kids, and then sometimes take the newborn so she can have her time with the older kids. But look, man, just got to be a support class.
That's it.
Like, I'm wearing my Dungeons & Dragons t-shirt today because I've always been a support class character, and every time I've done a campaign, but you're there to help everybody else. And then also alcohol. She likes alcohol. As do I.
Amen. And that's going to lead me right into, like, do you still have...
Casa Dragones, if you're listening, she loves it. Send it to the house.
There it is.
Let's get him on.
Get
friend of the
sponsor right there. Absolutely.
Friend of the pot.
how do you still have that private time with her?
Like, so Saturday night, we're already, like, we're going to her friend's house. We're going to have the two older kids, have my dad watch them. We did this last week, so... have them watch them for a few hours. We went to dinner real quick and have a few drinks with the newborn because she can't go anywhere else. She's got to feed off mom, do our thing, laugh, come back. We take a lot of trips together. We tell the kids, like, hey, we're going away for 3 or 4 days, you know, quick trip. This is the way that it is. But we're very cognizant of working our relationships all the way through, because if you have happy parents, you have happy kids,
yep,
good relationship. Kids have good relationships because they see that, they emulate it. But yeah, but right now with a newborn, 2-week-old, our alone time is watching Netflix and chilling.
Netflix and chill, folks.
Netflix and chill.
That's awesome. I appreciate all that, because it's very important to keep a happy wife, as we all know.
Happy wife, happy life. That's what my dad tells me. Would you rather be happy or right? Because you can't be both sometimes in your relationship.
I believe it was Bill Kotzman that was just at a wedding, and he posted a picture that said the bathroom scenario. It said men to the left, women always because they're right.
It's true.
But anyway, okay. So what do you do for, like, play dates now? Like
South Bay brisket.
Yeah, go over to Wilson's and let Randy just cook a brisket.
Come on, kids.
I'll go to, like, you know, we'll go to our friend's house. We have a lot, blessed to have a lot of friends that have kids the same age. So that's our life, and I love it. All my brothers and sisters, we all have kids about the same age. Sunday, I was at my sister's house in Orange County. All the kids together in the pool. Fucking anarchy. Fantastic time, right? We're having IPAs in the pool, maybe drinking whiskey later. Then Randy came over after that. Whatever. But this is the life, man. My play dates are more, I got to chill with the parents. Or sometimes I got to work. Like, if it's during the week and I got shit going down, like, I just have to be accessible by phone. I have a trial going on that I'm not personally doing. I'm coaching my trial teams and telling them this is how you cross as expert, this is how you pick the jury, these are the issues. So I have to be on call for that kind of stuff. But, you know, I'm never not working, but still the time you got to be, like, parent there. But my best play dates, again, fucking put on a baseball game, a football game, have a few drinks, and have the kids just go nuts.
How do you discipline for tantrums?
I always tell my wife and other folks, when they're in a tantrum, they're in the wrong fucking headspace. Like, you can't fight fire with fire. It just is what it is. So sometimes I'll just pretend like they're not there. let them have their thing. Sometimes I lose my shit and physically put them up, put them in their room. Yeah, it's an embarrassing situation. But I'm not the type of parent that it's like, you can let that shit slide, first of all. What I do a lot is I'll record it and show it to them later to show them how crazy they're being. And there's this really cool thing. This has worked every single time. Is if you go on YouTube and you put in, like, child police call, and it's just like this automated call. It sounds like you're on the phone with the police, and kids get really scared.
What?
And, bro, if I pull this up, because I do this all the time, and it's like hello.
I'm making
this,
my producer notes
like,
right now.
No, it's like, hello, this is the police. And it's like, it's the chip police, like, do you have a child? Are they out of control? Like, yes, they won't say, like, what's her name? And they're like, oh, what's his name? It's like, it's Remington, but it's a girl. And they're like, is she still yelling? Is she still crying? And my daughter's like, and like, I mean, it puts the fear of God in there.
No.
And then like, we'll send a unit over. I'm like, no, don't. It's okay. And like, no, don't send anybody over. And I hang up and I walk away. And my kids will stop freaking out. And then she'll be like,
how much do you think it's going to cost in therapy as they get older?
Does it matter? Does it matter?
Child police call?
My dad used to call the cops every Thursday.
Yeah.
Or every other Thursday. But how often would we do this shit as kids? Do you know how often our parents fucked with us as kids? Think about it. My dad, I remember asking my dad once, I was like, Dad, like the worst swear word right now is the F word. What is the worst, like, what was the worst word when you were growing up? And he was like, jag off. Like these little conversations, he just was making shit up. And I'm like, motherfucker was lying to me for years.
What lessons from your parents have you taken in to instill your characters as a dad?
So I'm going to give you a quick closing argument. I know your questions, but I do this thing. So whenever I give a closing to a jury, I break it up into pieces. And the last piece always is empowerment. So you have to empower the jury to do what's right, to let them know that, you know, they can come and do the thing. So I do this one thing called the good book. And I would just put up a clip art piece of like a Bible, something like this. And I say, you know, I think most people's lives are in a book. And it's supposed to be an autobiography. You write your own book. You control your own destiny, right? And usually that book's in three chapters. The first chapter is you growing up and having your parents, your folks, instill values in you. And the second chapter is you instilling those values in others and giving back into the community. And the last chapter is you riding off in the sunset, enjoying your golden years. And depending where my client was catastrophically injured, we cut off that chapter and say that there was a co-author, that there was somebody else that wrote it in blood and did it differently. And now these 12 jurors have the opportunity to rewrite it and be a co-author to right those wrongs. And every time I do that closing, I get a little emotional because I think about getting all those things where your parents teach you those values. And for me, it was just be a good fucking human being.
Yeah.
Like, we brought up, you know, the Jesus Christ thing. His number one rule, I don't care about everything else. It's the golden rule. Just do what's right.
Sure.
Do as you want to be.
Others.
And yeah. My dad always told me, don't be an asshole. Like, I was always, like, the jock growing up and all these other things. I was a popular kid in these things. And he's like, you got to be nice to everybody. And to a fault. And I've always been that way. I was dating this girl from another high school. I took her out for a date. I went over her house, and he was like, your last name is Simon? He's like, are you related to Pinky Simon? Well, my dad's nickname was Pinky, also named Bob. But he played football at Pitt before he got cut for beating up a DB's coach, but that's a different podcast. And this guy told me a story. My dad stuck up for him when he was a little nerdy kid at school. And I was like, fuck, my dad, like, he preaches what he says.
That's awesome.
Right? So it's in. But I do that I stick up for everybody, and it's just, you be nice to everybody. Like, the UPS guy was over at my house today. My dad worked for UPS for 35 years. So I always talked to him. Like, I was in the truck today, pulling packages out, we're laughing about shit. And I'm like, you know what? Why doesn't everybody do this stuff? Like, why are you just, like, holed up in your house being grumpy about shit, watching the news and being upset? Just be a fucking nice human being.
Yeah.
But that's A1. So I educate the shit out of my children. Like, this is how you talk to somebody. This is how you, like, make sure that they're okay. This is how you be a leader and to instill that kind of confidence in them.
Well, Chris, let's get to the FOP section.
I love it. Friends of the pod, shout outs brought to you by South Bay's luxury realtor, Brooke Billings. Looking for a home to buy or sell in Manhattan Beach, Hermosa Beach, or anywhere in the South Bay? Look no further, as the one who gets the best results and the most market value for your home is no other than Super Dad himself, Brooke Billings, servicing his hometown of Manhattan Beach for many years.
By the way, to fix that right there. Why don't you send me so I can get it correctly?
We'll retype this up.
Brooke,
this week.
Thank you again for the Friends of the Pod shout out. I'm going to go right into Friends of the Pod. I'm going to go in South Carolina.
Ooh.
I'm going to the Wash Wizards themselves, the owners, Casey McKinley and Brian Cook. Huge Friends of the Pod.
Big time Friends
of the
Pod.
And guys, let me tell you, if you're ever in Charleston and you need a car wash, go to the Wash Wizard. If you mention Dad's Night, And if they're there, which they probably aren't, you're going to get a free wash. But if you don't, you're going to spend like $20. But it's okay. Do it anyway. Cause
but I mean, how much does it cost to drive your car from LA to South Carolina that might be worth the savings?
Shrimp and grits.
Mm. Yeah.
It's the price of shrimp
and grits. Get some
good
food on the way.
Okay. So thank you, Brian, for being a friend of the pod.
Hopefully I have brake pads this time.
Yeah. Who do you got shout outs?
I got a couple, Tommy. My friend Nikki Jagd, former UCLA volleyball player. We've been playing a lot of pickle with her the last couple weeks. Possibly the most powerful pickleball player I've ever played.
Wow.
She's big on the volleyball scene. She's great. She owns Vibe Volleyball Lab in El Segundo, teaching kids how to be good around the net. And she's helping us. She's working on a couple people to get them on the pod. She's a big fan.
Nice.
Nikki.
Nice.
Playing Friday.
Nice.
Where's she located at?
She lives in El Segundo.
Where's this Vibe place? That sounds awesome.
Vibe, yeah, I'll. You know what? I'll post the information on our Instagram.
There
Dude,
you go.
You really
That's
should.
What I like. That's what I like.
Also, he's been mentioned several times tonight. Randy Wilson.
The Randy Wilson.
Mm-hmm. Friend of the pod. I was biking my two kids over to the church the other day to sort of bike around. He needed to lower the boy's seat. Randy happened to be outside his house. We're going up 17th. Brought out an Allen wrench. Then I said, hey, do you happen to have two waters? He had two waters. And then he said, hey, do you need a beer? He gave me a beer. It's great.
Oh,
nice visit
best
to the
day
Wilson.
Ever. I mean, Randy Wilson. Just yeah. never disappointed.
Friend of the pod.
CBD.
Yeah.
He's the best. Who else?
Well, I got a couple more.
Good.
Future guest, September 7th, Dan Weinstein.
Nice.
I'm going to do his fantasy league on Thursday. And so I had this interesting thing today. I was down at Bruco with Bill Kotzman, friend of the pod.
Friend of the pod.
And Lainey, my daughter, loses her shit.
Second time he was mentioned, this Kotzman.
He's a big guy.
Yeah, he's kind of out and about. Hmm. And anyway, this guy's walking down the street with his daughter. And my daughter loses her mind at this guy. And I'm like, I can't figure out what's happening.
Was it Jake Gyllenhaal?
No.
I just guessed.
No. She loses it, and it's Jordan Matter, who's a big photographer, like a massive, massive YouTube guy. Hmm. And Dan had mentioned to me a couple weeks ago, we should get this guy on because he's like a dad. He like sort of takes the piss out of himself and all this stuff. And then we met this guy, and it was like you would have thought Harry Styles was walking down Manhattan Beach Boulevard by the pier.
That's cool.
So Dan's going to hook us up on that, as well as come on the pod in a couple weeks and hopefully help me rig the fantasy league. Tomorrow. Big friend of the pot.
You know, you're a typical Michigan trying to rig shit. I'm going to give a big shout out to Brent LeCount, friend of the pod.
I think that's
coming
actionable.
To Columbus. Thank you so much for throwing part of the tailgate with Jack Coleman, also friend of the pod.
And this is for the Notre Dame game.
It's for the Notre Dame game. Big shout out to Justin Fry. Thank you for hopefully getting me these four tickets to get into the Notre Dame game. Justin, you're the best.
Thank you.
Can't wait. Thank you so much for getting me those tickets and showing me the field for my son enjoying his 10th birthday.
This is going to be an amazing trip for you.
I mean, I think there's some kind of flyover going to happen, too. Hopefully a stealth bomber.
I heard that there's 15 Air Force planes that are going to spell out Grayson in the sky. I heard this.
I tried. Big shout outs to my brother and my sister-in-law, James and Allison Reed. They have booked like dinners for us as soon as we get in Thursday, dinner Friday, rooftop clubs here, booths already rented. So we're going to have an amazing time in Columbus. Cannot wait. So thank you, James and Allison Reed. You guys are the best ever. Can't wait to have family time.
In Columbus?
Yeah, on the rooftops now because that's the newest thing. It's like, they decide
everybody brings
to
their own
Vegas.
Casserole.
Oh yeah, yeah, of course. Yeah,
no,
and they're only open 2 months a year.
Yeah,
on the
rooftop.
I mean, they're wearing shorts at 50 degrees. it's Ohio. Are you kidding me? And it's gray. So I get like after
February
September,
was a very confusing month for me growing up. Shorts one day, and it was like then ice the next.
Right, 34. It's like 56. You're wearing shorts out.
We always had that week in March where everybody breaks out the summer stuff. It's like, oh my god, it's 67, and then the next week, like 5 feet of blizzard.
Yeah, completely.
Yeah.
But that's all I got. Do you have any friends of the pod that listen to us that you'd like to give shout outs to?
Well, I know Matt Greeny does. Like,
Greener.
Yeah, man. But I think you guys have had a great presence in the Man Beach Dad Pod. You got the pods? I mean, is that what we're calling these things? So my kid goes to Montessori, and there's a lot of dads that talk about this stuff.
Yeah.
But you guys don't even know.
It's great.
Yeah.
We're a revolution, Tommy.
Let's get their names. Let's give them recognition because we want to thank them for listening. Wherever they're driving to or walking the dog or whatever it is.
You got it by one buddy, Keegan, who actually does. He does he gets podcast TV shows. He should be a guy you talk to. He's a 3-time girl dad and listener. Man,
we'd love to be on TV. Our wives say we have faces for radio, though.
Okay, I can see that. Okay, maybe you guys should stay behind the mic.
I don't know.
Tommy looks good today. I don't think that I
shaved,
could be on
I shaved everyone,
yeah, you look
so
great.
Guys, thanks so much for listening to Dad's Night Podcast. Bob, what are your social handles for all your companies?
At Planet Fun Bob on IG, or just look up Robert Simon or Justice Team. You'll find me. Justice HQ is another company that we got rocking. But
nice. And if you see him out, buy him a bourbon, because he is a celebrity around the South Bay, guys. He is awesome. Just a great dude. Great buddy. Chris, what are our handles?
I mean, I think if you want to find us on Instagram, you're going to go at Dad's Night Podcast. Email us, dadsnightpodcast@gmail.com.
Where are you guys on YouTube? We're gonna we're
no,
gonna
we our intern is yet to show up for any of these.
I saw her earlier. You know, it's almost child labor, but she's got to get on it.
Well, that was our photographer.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And she's 11.
Yeah, and she
and she's disappointing
tomorrow.
Me.
All right, everyone. Thanks for taking time to listen to our Dad's Night Podcast, brought to you the Believe Network. Please like it with a share. Please like it and share it with a friend or two that you think would love this ridiculous banter. Because after all, Dad's Night is where
ridiculous becomes reality. Thank you, everybody.